Me to Exodus chapter number 16. Exodus chapter number 16. Is there anybody in here? Jesus has been there for you. Anybody ever look back on your life where you thought you were alone and saw the hand of God all throughout it? Amen. I'm thankful for the times in my life where maybe I didn't see Him or I didn't know it, but He was there. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the choir being faithful and being here this morning. Thankful for everybody who's had a part already this morning in serving, whether that be in welcoming or making coffee or picking up a piece of trash. I appreciate it. Amen. If you found your place in Exodus chapter number 16, say amen. I love the book of Exodus. I got about 100 sermons out of the book of Exodus. And I think one of the last sermons I preached was out of Exodus. Preached in here was out of Exodus, and I just love Exodus. It's a very rich book. It has a lot of good stuff in it because a lot of it applies to us. Amen. Even though it's the children of Israel, when you look at their hard-headedness and how dumb they were, I relate to it, Brother Jesse. I mean, when I read about the children of Israel and the mistakes that they continually made, the stubbornness that in which they made them, amen. Does anybody feel that way this morning? God had to treat you like the children of Israel every now and then, amen. We see this progression in the children of Israel. If you've been in our Bible college, you know this. They get right with God, and then they fall back into sin, and God judges them, and then they get right again. Are y'all with me? Everybody say amen. And that's how God, they are continually in this cycle, and I relate to that, amen. I get right with God. I'm on fire for God. The devil throws a valley in my way, and for some reason, I think I can do it on my own, and I fall back into sin, and then God judges me, and God gets me right again, and about the time I get right again, Brother Junior, here I go falling again. Anybody ever feel like that happens to you? I feel like I relate really well with the book of Exodus because I feel like lots of times I act just like the children of Israel. But right here in chapter number 16, this is not long after one of the most famous stories in our Bible, and that is the story of the Red Sea. We all know that story well. We know how that Moses was born at a time where they were trying to kill these babies. His life was saved because of the faith of his mother. And he was raised in the palace, and one day he got mad at the way somebody was treating one of his family members, if you will. And so he killed a man. And he thought he got away with it without anybody knowing. But once he found out that everybody knew about it, he ran as far as he could away to save his life. He ran to the backside of a desert. And on the backside of that desert, God called him out of a burning bush and called him and said, I want you to go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so Moses, just like us, makes many excuses of why he couldn't do it. But God finally talked him into it, and he goes back, and we all know what he told Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do that. I like it when they work and I don't have to. And so Pharaoh said, I'm not letting them go. And Moses goes back to God, and he's just like us. He says, see, God, I told you I knew better than you. I knew they weren't going to let them go. And God said, it's all right, I got an idea. So he sends 10 plagues to Egypt. And I'm just going to be honest with you, after the first plague, I'd have said, y'all get out of here. Especially after the second one, amen. Especially after my wife, if she opened the cabinet in the kitchen and there was frogs in there, she would kick Israel out of Egypt, amen. I'm telling you. After all that, I wouldn't want anything to do with them children of Israel. Their God made himself known in a mighty way. Amen. But we all know what happens. It took 10 plagues, and finally the last plague, known as the Passover, comes. And in one night, God killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, all the firstborn in the houses that were not covered in the blood of Christ. Now, this ain't the message this morning, but I want to stop right here because what better of an opportunity for salvation than this. If you have not applied the blood of Christ to your life, you are in trouble. Amen. You are in trouble. And devastation can happen just like it happened in Egypt. It can happen in your house. Amen. Without the blood. And so we all must apply the blood. So they applied the blood. The firstborn were killed. Pharaoh wakes up in the morning to the sound of women and men screaming because their children are gone. And he says, you know what? Get out of here. And so they leave, and we all know the story. They come to the Red Sea, and they turn around, and Pharaoh's coming, and just like we all do, the children of Israel begin to complain. Oh, why did you bring us over here to the edge of the sea so they'll come over here and kill us? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? Pharaoh and Moses trusted God. He parted the Red Sea with the power of God. They walk across on dry land. They get to the other side. God swallows up Pharaoh and all of his men. I almost preached the message that I have this morning on Pharaoh and how Pharaoh relates to the unbeliever. Pharaoh had a hard heart. Pharaoh brought a lot of people with him, Brother Johnny, because of Pharaoh's sin, because of Pharaoh's unbelief. Many people died because of that. And I almost preached that this morning, but the Lord wouldn't let me. He had me stuck on this message this morning. But they get to the other side of the Red Sea, and the Bible says that they sang a song. Amen. And there's times in our life where we need to just slow down and sing a minute. Amen. When God does something in your life, you need to sing. You say, well, I can't sing. You need to worship is what I'm trying to tell you. We need to take time in our life when God does something in our life that we couldn't do on our own. By the way, that's everything. We need to stop for a moment and raise our hands to the Lord and say, thank you. Amen. And so they took a moment. I want to highlight that because I think that's very important. They did not just march on. They stopped and thanked God for the victory in their life. But they leave the victory, and just like it always happens, they leave the mountaintop. And by the way, y'all help me with this. If we're standing on the peak of the mountain and we try to go forward, which direction will we go? Down. Down. Are y'all with me? Say amen. For every mountaintop, your next step most likely will be down, especially if the devil has anything to do with it. Amen. And so on the mountaintop, they're singing because of the victory that they have just won because of the Lord's provision. And the next step, they start getting thirsty. And they find this place that has a little bit of water, but the water there is bitter. And it's called Marah. And we all know the story. Marah is a place of bitter water. And they go there and they try to drink of the water. And it's bitter. It's nasty. They can't drink it. And so Israel begins to complain. They begin to complain. And we know the story. God tells Moses, go over there and take that tree and put it in the water. And if you don't see the significance of Calvary right there, amen, I don't know what to tell you. The cross, the tree, makes everything sweeter. Amen. And so they take the tree and they put it in the water, and the water becomes sweet. They drink of the water and they leave Marah. And I preached a message on that. Y'all probably don't remember it, but I do. It says, don't miss out on Marah. There's things in Marah. This is in chapter number 15. There's things that happen at Marah that will help the children of Israel go another mile. And so many times we don't want the bitter parts of our life. Amen. We want the mountaintops in our life. And if you'll see in the last verse of chapter number 15, the Bible says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. So they leave Marah, a place that's bitter, and it sounds like that they walked up in the Bahamas, right? There's palm trees everywhere. There's 12 wells of water. That's a beautiful place. In my mind, all I can see is this beautiful oasis in the desert. That's all I can see. And so they go from a bitter experience to a sweet paradise, if you will. And so many of us, this is the message that I've preached before, so many of us, if we saw Elim before we saw Marah, we'd never go to Marah. We'd go straight to Elim. We'd go to paradise. We'd go sit under palm trees and we would enjoy ourselves. But the problem with that is we would miss out on the things that God is trying to do in our life in Marah. The bitter times in your life are some of the best times in your life. Some of the worst times that I thought I was living in, if I could go back there right now, I would. Can anybody say amen right there? How many of y'all ever said this? I wish I was as fat as when I thought I was fat. Anybody ever said that? Huh? You look back on your life and remember when you were so skinny but you thought you were fat, and now you're actually are fat and you're like, I wish I was that fat again. Anybody? Maybe it's just me, y'all. There's times in our life we look back on our life and in the moment we thought that was the worst thing that could happen to us. But looking back, how many of you know hindsight's 20/20? You look back and just like we're just saying, there was Jesus. And you see how God was doing things. And if you could trade it right now, you'd go back in a heartbeat because some of the sweetest times in your life and the sweetest fellowship you ever had with God was in Mara. Are y'all with me? By the way, in Mara, they found out that God was Jehovah Rapha. That means our healer. They'd have never found that out had they went straight to Elam. Amen. God reveals himself in ways that we have never seen in Mara. And they go to Elam, and this is great paradise. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Are y'all still with me? I'm trying to lay the groundwork here. Y'all just going to have to bear with me. Amen. In chapter number 16, and this is where our text is, the first three verses of chapter number 16 this morning, the Bible says, and they took their journey. Everybody say these next words with me. From Elam. Let's say that again. And they took their journey from Elam. They had to leave Elam. And I feel like this is a great time for this message. I feel like God has laid this on my heart because 2 weeks ago, how many of y'all remember we were standing in here shouting because the Lord is holy? Y'all remember that? We sing that song over and over again, and we had our hands to the sky and tears rolling down our face as we experienced a move of God in our church. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And we just got back from Arise yesterday, or the day before yesterday. Y'all forgive me, my days are mixed up. And by the way, y'all pray for my leaders. They're recovering from a gruesome week. Are y'all with me? No, I'm just kidding. It was a great week. But we're at Arise, and God is preached. God is worshiped. We are in the presence of God so thick you could probably cut it with a knife. Amen. Amen. And I just look around, and I see these teenagers that are filled up. I mean, just, I prayed, Lord, just let the cup overflow. Just let it overflow. Just let it. We'll drink out of our saucer, Lord. Just let the cup overflow. Man, God was just moving. A spirit of God was moving. The presence of God was felt. I seen teenagers that didn't even want to go, crying their eyes out. God doing a work in their heart. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we was on the mountaintop. Are y'all with me? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we were sitting under the palm trees in paradise. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Last week in revival, as the cars came up and sang with the choir and the choir backed them up, how many of y'all thankful the choir sang with them? Amen. On Lord, you're holy. It might not have sounded good, but it felt good up there. Amen. Amen. And I remember standing up here singing, Lord, you're holy. And you know where we were, right? We were up on the mountaintop. Amen. We were sitting under palm trees. We were sitting by the wells of water that were not bitter. They were sweet. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. But the problem is tomorrow, and they took their journey from Elam. You got to leave Elam. Huh? You saying we shouldn't do it? No. You don't misunderstand me. You've got to leave Elam. Here's the beautiful part. Elam can go with you. Are y'all with me? Say amen. You cannot stay on the mountaintop. That's right. But I want to. I know, me too. You cannot sit by 12 wells of water every day of your life. It just don't work that way. Say amen if you got children, amen. You ain't going to sit by the well every day. You ain't going to sit under palm trees every day. You're not going to sit on the mountaintop every day. So what do we do? Just give up? So what do? Just fall back into sin? So what do? Just get confused? What do? Just start complaining? Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Am I making any sense this morning? Amen. So many times, and I'm guilty of it. Thursday night, we had one of the best services I've ever been in my life. 100 kids got saved in one service. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you, 100 people got saved in one service. What do you call that? I call that a mountaintop. What do you call that? I call that paradise. What do you call that? I call that palm trees and wells of water. Amen. But guess what? On Friday morning, I had to pack that trailer. Amen. And we had to come off, literally come off the mountain. That's right. Because if you're on the mountaintop, the next step is down. And that shouldn't discourage you, church. Because what God did in your heart on the mountaintop can come down with you. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And so this is what I want to talk about this morning. This is what God's put on my heart is after Elam. That's what I'm preaching on tonight, this morning. After Elam. What do we do? I want to give you some mistakes that the children of Israel made that we can learn from. We can learn from. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. And by the way, let me say this because I think it's good and I about missed out on it. God did not promise you an abundant season in your life. He promised you abundant life. Quit trying to hold on to a season. Revival is wonderful. Arise Conference and Youth Camp is wonderful, but they're just seasons, and God does not want you to dwell and focus on the season, but the abundant life. Are y'all with me? Say amen. So let's learn from these mistakes. Number one, the first mistake, we've got to remember, listen, we've got to remember where God brought us from. The first mistake that the children of Israel made is they forgot what God has already brought them from. If you'll read with me in these first three verses, I don't think I got through all of them, but the Bible says, let me just read verse number 2 and 3. Here we go. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. And so the children of Israel have left Elam, left paradise, and three verses later, they are bad off. And three verses later, they are in a deep, dark valley spiritually. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. And I believe one of the main reasons why they are in this deep, dark valley is because they forgot what God did for them in Egypt. What is Egypt a picture of? The world. What is Egypt a picture of? Sin. And so many times in our life, hey, don't lose sight of where God brought you from. We sang Rescue Story just a little while ago, and some of y'all had your hands raised to the sky. I saw tears running down your face. What was that? That was somebody who remembered where God brought them from and remembered how good He was and remembered the miracle that God worked in their life. If you want to make it when you're not in Elam, if you want to make it in the valley and not on the mountaintop, you've got to remember where God brought you from. I think about the children of Israel. They were in bondage. They were enslaved. Could you imagine waking up every single day and you are the people of God? You're God's chosen people. And instead of being God's chosen people, you are enslaved to a bunch of Egyptians who want nothing to do with your God but serve little g gods and serve pagan gods. And you look around and you say, what in the world? I don't understand this. And we look around and in our lost world, we're in this terrible state. And then all of a sudden, God takes you from that terrible state and He puts you on the road of deliverance, and He delivers you out of Egypt, out of sin, out of the world, out of a lost state. Amen. When God saved you, we ought to be able to look back on that and say, thank you. My goodness, look around you this morning. Look at the stories that God has, the rescue stories all around this room. How can we make it in the valley? How can we make it on the other side of Elam? I'll tell you how you can make it. Think back about where you used to be. Think back where you used to be. Let a tear come down your face because of how thankful you are where God brought you from. Some of you in here this morning, you don't even want to talk about where God brought you from. You don't even want to talk about how heavy the chains of sin were in your life. You don't want to talk about how bound you were because it breaks your heart. But sometimes we need to look back on those times in our life just so we can be real good and thankful about where we are now. Amen. They were in bondage. They were hopeless. They were hopeless. They had no hope. They had no hope. They had no promise of leaving. Are y'all with me? Say amen. But Moses came on the authority of God and said, let my people go. What a different story it would be if the children of Israel after Elam would have stopped and said, you know, this place ain't the best, but it sure beats carrying bricks. It sure beats that whip across my back. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And by the way, when you're in a state of complaining, well, I better not get into that. That's my next point. I'm thankful for where God brought me from. I'm thankful for what God, y'all watch this, saved me from. I don't have the same testimony as y'all do, and sometimes the devil beats me up about it. I'm going to tell you something right now. What God brought you from, God saved me from. And we both ought to be able to shout about it. Amen? We both ought to be able to shout about what God has protected us from. Amen. And I'm thankful that as a young boy in the year 2005, y'all have heard my story 100 times, I was at a youth camp. Why are you so passionate about youth camps, Brother Dalton? I'll tell you why. Because I was at a youth camp I wasn't supposed to be at. I was not old enough to be there. But my dad was the youth pastor, so I went wherever he told me to go. Amen. Amen. Sitting at a youth camp I wasn't even supposed to be at, as my mom and dad said, hush, color in that coloring book. Be quiet. God started talking to me. God started talking to me, and before I knew it, by the way, moms, dads, you just go ahead and bring them kids in here. They can color. Amen. Amen. I didn't get amen right. Go ahead and say that again. Amen. Amen. Bring them in here and color, because God will work on them. They need to sit in here. Amen. If they cry, it'll be all right. Amen. Amen. I remember sitting there, and before I knew it, God was all over me. All over me. I was so scared. I've never been so scared in my life. I thought the rapture was going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Amen. I ain't lying to you. My heart was pounding so hard, I thought, this is it. This is it. If I don't get it right. I remember turning around, my tears running down my face, nudging my mom. I'm not saved. She knows my dad. He said, come on, boy. We went back. Every time we go to that camp, I show them kids the exact room. I can take you to the spot. I can take you to the spot where Jesus delivered me. Amen. Where I knelt down on faith and said, Jesus, save me. Right. And guess what? He did, amen. Amen. He did. I can take you to the spot. I remember the moment. I remember the tear coming down my eye. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. And sometimes when the devil's beating me up, I like to take him back to that spot. I got a picture of it on my phone just so I can pull it up every now and then and look at it. Take me back to that moment where Jesus broke my chains, where Jesus pulled me out of my bondage. Amen. Somebody say amen. If you can't shout over deliverance, I don't know what to tell you. Amen. Thank God for the way He has delivered every single one of us in here. If you're saved by the grace of God, you should never have a bad day. We should always have a shout in our heart. Amen? I'm thankful for where God brought me from and what God saved me from. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember where God, where you were before Christ? Do you remember your life before Christ? We all ought to be shouting. Amen. Number one, you got to remember where God brought you from. Number two, y'all don't throw the book at me. You got to resist the urge to complain. Amen. How do we make it after Elam? Well, the first thing you got to do is look back on where God brought you. But the second thing you got to do is don't start complaining. Because if all God ever did for you was save you, that was plenty. I'm going to say that again. If all He did for you was save your soul from hell, then that was enough. Amen. Amen. You don't have to sit under palm trees the rest of your life or sit by a well. God saved you from hell. Amen. Amen. We've got something to be happy about. We've got something to shout about. We've got something that ought to drive our desire to please Him. Resist the urge to complain. I saw this quote and I want to share it with you. I read this. It says, complaining is one of pride's favorite ways of strengthening itself. Let me say that again. Complaining is one of pride's favorite ways of strengthening itself. How many of y'all know we live in a world that feels entitled? And before we point the finger at the younger generation, every single person in this room feels entitled. Well, back in my day, we didn't have that attitude. Well, you got it now. Let something go wrong in your life, you feel like it shouldn't. You feel like you were done wrong. Oh, I felt like a bunch of old people looking at me like they mad at me right now. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Lord. Get mad at the Lord, amen. Hey, don't start pointing your finger at a younger generation that feels entitled. They learned it from somewhere. Amen. We all feel entitled, this preacher up here included. Are y'all with me? If I don't get to wear the nicest shoes, it bothers me. If my son doesn't get to go to the best baseball camp, it bothers me. Why? Because I'm entitled. Are y'all with me? Say amen. We're all entitled. I'm gonna just move on before somebody gets real mad at me. Amen. I understand that you feel entitled to feel young. Don't mess with the man with the mic, Jennifer. We all complain. Well, I've been working there 3 years and I ain't got but one 50-cent raise. Hey, all we had to eat last night was cereal. Hey, by the way, cereal for supper is a good meal, amen. I'm going to just stop right here. And listen, by 12 a.m., a peanut butter and jelly hits different, amen. I'm just saying, thank me later. All we had was Ramen noodles, however you say it. You know what? That was better than a lot of people. Are y'all with me? And our pride likes to sneak up and say, you deserve better than this. Are y'all with me? That's just somebody's phone. It's all right. Ain't no fire. Listen. Our pride likes to sneak up and say, you deserve better. Our pride likes to sneak up and say, his wife don't talk to him like that. Our pride likes to say, look at their children. They don't act bad. Why do mine act bad? Are y'all with me? Amen. And before you know it, we've left palm trees and we're so far down in the ditch because we're complaining. Amen. And our pride is stronger than it's ever been. That's right. Let me ask you this question. Are you complaining? Are you complaining? Well, I don't complain. Out loud. Out loud. I know every single one of us in this room this week, a spirit of pride, a spirit of I deserve better has rose up in your heart. And if you're ever going to survive outside of Elam, you got to come out of Elam. But there's ways to do it, and one of them is not complaining. Amen. I'm going to move on because I'm feeling pretty bad up here. How many of y'all know we get dramatic? Before I move on, I was thinking about my kids. How many of y'all's kids ever told you they were starving? Amen. That's a lie. You ain't starving. My daughter, Miss Miranda, my wife ain't here to witness, but Miss Miranda's here. My daughter will eat her meal, your meal, and then come up to you and say, I want gummies. I'm like, girl, you just ate two meals. You ate more than me. And you're 3 years old. I'm starving. You ain't starving. I think that's how the children of Israel got. As soon as their bellies were so full from sitting under them palm trees and relaxing. The first time they didn't get what they wanted to eat. I'm starving. I'm starving. And the truth of the matter is, God's been so good to you, you could go a long time without a meal and survive. I'm moving on. Number one, we got to remember God, where God brought us from. Number two, we've got to resist the urge to complain. Number three, we've got to do this. We've got to recognize who is for you. We've got to recognize who is for you. Look what they said. In verse number two, and the Bible says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel, look what they did, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The only two people that were ever for the children of Israel are now the ones that are targeted, the ones that are talked bad about, the ones that are whispered about. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And what Satan really likes to do is when you come off that mountaintop, I know this because I've been in ministry long enough to know this, amen. I know I'm young up here, and some of y'all saying he don't know what he's talking about. I've seen this with my own eyes. As soon as revival's over, as soon as we walk off that mountaintop, there's something that somebody did wrong. Well, Brother Robbie, I just don't understand why he had to say that. Are y'all going to get mad at me at 2 points in a row, really? I mean, golly, everybody looking at me like he won't kill me again. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling you. You don't think Satan knows what he's doing? You don't think Satan knows what he's doing? You don't think in my life I haven't experienced Satan sneak up on me and say, why did he say it like that? Why did that person of authority in your life, why did they have to say it like that? Then we go back to complaining and pride starts swelling up. Well, I shouldn't have been talked to like that. What is this? It's Satan. It's Satan. And we've got to recognize who is for you. Look around you, church. You see everybody in here? They are for you. And the dangerous place to be is right after revival, right after God does a great work, you start looking across the aisle and Satan starts putting some seeds in your heart. And before you know it, those seeds start growing. Are y'all with me? And before you know what God did in Elam, everybody's done forgot. Because we done got focused on, well, they shouldn't have done it like that. Well, they shouldn't have sang that song. How many of y'all know when you get bitter, you start picking everything apart? Are y'all with me? God just did a great work in your life. A week ago, we were sitting under palm trees. Are y'all with me? And today, we're talking bad about the man of God. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Moses and Aaron were for the children of Israel. I want to just say this. Sometimes in doing all they can to help you, they don't do it like you think they should.
That's right.
But understand that they are for you. The devil will twist it and say, oh, no, they knew what they were doing. No, don't listen to him. There's people that God has put in your life. Thank God for the church. There's people that God has put in your life that are for you.
That's right.
And the devil would love it this morning to turn that around.
That's right.
And make you see it differently.
Amen.
Can I just say this? I'm for every one of y'all.
That's right.
I'm for every one of y'all. If I can help one person in here, I want to. If I hurt somebody in here, it breaks my heart. But what Satan will try to tell you is, they meant to do that.
That's right. Come on.
And what you got to understand is the people that are in this room, I'm going to say this for the most part, because Satan knows how to send somebody to, they're for you. You look in the Bible at the great moves of God. There's one thing in common. Y'all ready? Unity.
Amen.
God awards and blesses unity.
That's right.
And Satan knows that.
Right. Amen.
So when you come off the mountain, one of the first things he tries to do is bust that up.
That's right.
Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Yep.
Remember who's for you. Not only was Moses and Aaron for him, who else was for him, church? God was for him. Let me just say this. God is just as much in the wilderness as he is in Elam. The devil will talk to you and he'll say, man, you're leaving God. No, I ain't. He's right here. And wherever I go, he goes with me as long as I'm following him. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you God ain't in the wilderness. He's everywhere. Amen. Are y'all with me? Say amen. God is for you. Just like I said earlier, I bet when they finally did get to Canaan and they looked back on the wilderness, they saw God's hand everywhere. Some of the toughest times of my life were some of the closest I've ever been to God.
Amen.
Why? Because he was for me. And even in my wilderness, he was for me. Amen.
Amen.
I'm moving on. What time is it? Oh, we're good. Number one, remember where God brought you. Number two, resist the urge to complain. Number three, recognize who is for you. Lastly, rejoice over where you are headed.
Amen.
Rejoice over where, how do I make it through a wilderness? How do I make it in the weeks after revival when the devil's got my number and he's doing everything he can to discourage me? I'll tell you how. This is how. Find a real good spot and start rejoicing.
Amen.
Find a real good spot and throw your hands to the air and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I promise you that will carry you to the next mountaintop. Amen. I believe the children of Israel, how did they make it through? How could they have made it through a lot easier? I'll tell you how. By number one, remember where they came from. But number two, recognizing and rejoicing over where God was taking them. What are you saying, Brother Dalton? God had promised them a city. Are you following me this morning? God has promised every saved person in this room this morning a city where the streets are paved with gold. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And I'm excited and I'm rejoicing and I'm getting a little louder and a little more excited this morning because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. I'm so thankful for the place God is. What? Taking me. How do I survive, Brother Dalton? Rejoice where God's taking you. Rejoice. This world is not our home, church. Cancer is not the end. Amen. Sickness is not the end. Debt is not the end. There is a place that is laid up for you if you're saved by the grace of God. He has prepared a mansion. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you can't rejoice over that, Brother Mark Munhausen said, if that don't fire you up, your wood's wet. Amen. If I don't get you excited, there's something wrong with you. Rejoice over where you're headed. Amen. Promised the city. He promised the future. Let me say this. If God didn't have something else for you, he'd have left you in Egypt.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. If God didn't have something greater for you, he would have left you in Egypt.
Amen.
But the reason he brought you out of Egypt is because he has a place prepared for you. Amen.
Right.
And you might not know where it's at. You ain't got the address yet. But it's there,
amen.
And he's got a place for you. And sometimes we have to use this thing called faith. And just know that he's taking me somewhere. Just know that where I'm going is better than where I'm at,
amen.
I'm excited about where I'm going. Your best days are not behind you. You say, well, I'm old. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Your best days are not behind you. God has so much more for you. So much more for you. So many times we let the devil discourage us and tell us, oh man, your best days are behind you. Oh man, back then that was when God was really using you. No, God can still use you.
That's right.
No, God can still do something great in your life.
That's right.
We've got to look forward to what God is going to do with us. Amen.
Amen.
if we're going to make it outside of Elam. God has something great for us, church. Brother Matt, you can go ahead and play that. God has something great for you. Something great for you. Me and my wife were talking last night. Can I be transparent? Can I just be transparent? Me and my wife were talking last night just like we always do after camp or conference or whatever you want to call it. And I said, what did you get out of this? And my wife broke down crying. She said, I want to be better. See these kids worshiping. Seeing all these, by the way, there was almost 5,000 young people worshiping together. Amen. If you can't, I mean, you're talking about holy goosebumps calling all over you. Amen. She said, looking around makes me want to be better. And I had this sermon on my heart. I said, baby, the sky's the limit. Your best days are not, you haven't missed your opportunity. Well, I hadn't been the leader I should be. I want to be better. Okay. Rejoice. He's still got you still got an opportunity. Amen. You're still young. You got a lot of life ahead of you. You're wasting time. I said, when do you think you need to get started on this? She said, right now. I said, amen. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. If I could just get you to believe, God's got something huge.
That's right.
Or he would have left you in Egypt.
That's right.
Well, it's just something little. Nothing is little. Nothing is little. Well, it's just not what I thought. It's okay. It's okay. Don't get discouraged. It's better than you thought. It's better than you thought. How do I make it? It's dark. It's starting to get darker. Rejoice. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. God's got something better. God's got something greater. I'm trying to encourage somebody in here today that's discouraged because you done left Elam and you back down in the dumps and you think it's over. It's not over. It's not over. Everybody go like this. It's not over.
Amen.
It's not over. What are you going to do with what you have left? I'm rejoicing this morning over the fact that I have a future.
Amen.
Children of Israel, how could they? They made a mistake. They took their eyes off of God and they took their eyes off of the things of God and they looked down.
Amen.
At the wilderness. We can learn from this. What would have happened if they said, man, my children are going to be raised a lot different than I was.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? The future. I wonder if there's somebody in here this morning and you're looking around. They sure ain't no palm trees. They ain't no wells of water. Before you know it, the devil's going to put that seed in your heart. If you're not careful, he'll have you complaining. If you're not careful, you'll ruin what God tried to do in your heart. I'm trying to encourage somebody in here this morning to say, I might be in a valley, but I'm not staying in a valley. I might not be in Elam, but I got a city waiting on me. I might not be in Elam, but God's going to use me for something else. Are y'all with me? I wonder if there's anybody in here with every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody might come to the altar and say, Lord, help me not to get discouraged in the wilderness of sin. Lord, help me, Lord, to take what you did for me in Elam with me. Lord, help me not to complain. Lord, help me not to look on the people that are for me and allow the devil to sow a seed of bitterness in my life. Lord, if nothing else, help me to think back on where you brought me from. Help me to rejoice where you're taking me. Lord, I love you so much this morning. I thank you so much for the work I believe with all my heart that you're doing in our church right now. But I know just as sure as you do a work, Satan's going to try to stop it. Lord, I'm praying a hedge of protection over the people in this church, the people all across this country, Lord, that's maybe coming out of Elam and the devil's waiting on them right outside the door, saying, yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. I pray, Lord, that you'd put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, I pray that you'd allow them to know that you've got plans for them. You've got a better day is coming. Lord, I pray that you help every single one of us in this room this morning not to give up, not to get discouraged, Lord, but to rejoice of where we are headed. Lord, I thank you for this service this morning. What a sweet spirit we had. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take this message. Lord, it's not just a Sunday morning message that we listen in one ear and go out the other. Lord, it's a message, Lord, if we'll take it, we can make it. Lord, if we'll hide your word in our heart, we'll survive. Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us, Lord, including myself. Lord, when we go down into the wilderness, help us not to forget what you did in Elam. Lord, help us to hold on to it. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, real quickly. I wonder if there's somebody in here, you say, Brother Dalton, if I was to die right now, it's a very simple question. If I was to die right now, I'm not sure where I would spend my eternity. But I want to know. Brother Dalton, I don't know if I would go to heaven, but I want to know if I will. If there's anybody like that, I want you to just look up at me. Brother Dalton, I'm not sure, but I want to be. Is there anybody? Brother Dalton, I'm not sure where I'd spend my eternity. I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I sure want to. Is anybody like that real quick? Just make eye contact with me. Is anybody like that real quick? Before we open our eyes and lift our heads up, I wonder if there's somebody in here, even since last week when we were in Elam, Satan's already tried to mess you up. Is there anybody like that? I just want you to raise your hand. Hands all over the building. Listen, don't let him. Don't let him win. Don't let him win. Our God is greater. Lord, I pray, Lord, I plead the blood. I pray your power over every single hand that was raised in this building this morning. Lord, Satan knows what he's doing. Lord, Satan is strong, but you're stronger. Lord, I pray, Lord, I'm begging you. Lord, I pray that you'd help the people, including myself. Lord, where Satan is waiting, I pray that you'd go with us. Lord, we know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we need you. Desperately, we need you. Lord, I pray that you'd touch our church. Lord, help us, Lord, never to forget what you do in our heart. Help us to carry it with us. We give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.